Well, the word's good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 in verse 1. Praise God. Amen. You know what the Bible says is, blessed are they. Notice this now. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That word filled means satisfied in the Greek. That word satisfied sounds good, amen?
Amen?
That means you're not lacking. That means you're happy. Praise God. But notice this. Your satisfaction depends on your hunger. Amen? It depends on what you do tonight. It depends on how you showed up. Praise God. So it's up to you. Whether you walk out of here satisfied or not is up to you. So I'm going to walk out of here satisfied. Amen?
Amen?
Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful. And we are so thankful for all that you have done and are doing and will do. Father, we gather around the Word, the incorruptible seed of the Word that has the potential to change and transform our lives. Father, we thank you for the life-changing Word that we're about to hear. Father, I thank you as I open my mouth, you will fill it with words from heaven. I declare I will not speak the wisdom of men tonight, but as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank you we're going to hear from heaven. We're going to hear exactly what we need to hear tonight for our lives to go forward to be blessed. So we thank you beforehand. We come with expectation and hunger. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 10 and verse 1, it says this. It says, it's nice to be here on a Wednesday night, by the way. It's been a while.
Amen.
It's been like 2 weeks, praise God. So it's good to be here. And the 2 weeks ago, we looked at something on prayer, and so I'm going to do a brief review to catch us up. But this is what it says. It says in Romans 10 and verse 1, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." It goes on to say, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God." That means a hunger. That means a thirst for God. That means they're passionate about Him. Amen? And so they're passionate about it. It says they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Again, what did they think? They're still living in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments. They don't know that Jesus is the end of it for everybody, right? They don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. So they're ignorant. Being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, we're not going to talk about the Jews tonight. We're not going to talk about Israel. But what we are going to point out, if you'd go back to verse 2, it says, "I bear them record that they have a zeal of God." The whole nation of Israel, he's talking about, have a hunger, have a thirst for God. They have a passion for God. They're excited about God. But notice this. You can be hungry for God. You can be excited about God. You can have a passion for God. And you can be going about everything the wrong way. Do you see? It says, not according to knowledge. He said they're ignorant. Yeah, they're hungry for God. How many of you know? Hunger doesn't trump ignorance. Passion doesn't trump ignorance. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, right? That's what he said. So he said, "I bear them record. They have a zeal, but not according to knowledge." And so that really surprises me in the sense, I mean, I knew that verse. I knew what the Jews believe. But the fact that there's a whole nation of people that love God, have a passion for God, yet they're wrong. You see that? The body of Christ in the same way. We can love Jesus. We can love the things of God. We can be passionate about Him. We can be passionate about His plan. Be so thankful for what Jesus did on the cross for us. We can be so passionate about what the kingdom of God is and what God's doing for us. But if we go about it in ignorance, it means nothing. Because here, obviously, their hunger, you know, when they stand before the Lord and the Lord says, and they say, I didn't believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, and they're not going to be able to just bypass and get in because He said, "My heart's desire for Israel is they'd be saved," saying Israel's not saved. Well, what happens if people aren't saved? They don't go to heaven. In fact, they don't just are ignorant of Jesus. They reject Jesus as the Son of God. Well, they're not going to stand before God and say, "But I loved you. But I was hungry for you. Let me in." God's going to say, "That's not how it works." Amen? Amen? Just the same way here on earth. People say, "Well, Lord, I cry when the worship comes on. I cry at worship music. I tear up at Christian movies and I get moved when I hear people talk about you and things like that. That's not going to take the place of ignorance. Amen? So we got to be in the know, hallelujah. And we said this, that many people in the body of Christ are very ignorant concerning a subject. And if the whole nation of Israel can be ignorant on something, then the whole body of Christ can be ignorant on something. Yeah. And one of the things that they're ignorant about is the area of prayer. And we saw that John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, who, again, if you come from the Methodist Church, it's not like the Methodist Church that John Wesley found, and I can say that because I know about John Wesley's Methodism, how he started it, and I know what it's turned into, at least for the most part. You know, that's no dig against anybody. I'm just stating the facts. The Methodist Church now does not believe in speaking in tongues. They do not believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They do not preach about faith. They do not preach about divine healing. They do not preach about prosperity. They do not preach about miracle signs and wonders. Well, John Wesley was filled with the Holy Ghost, prayed in other tongues, preached about miracle signs and wonders, had them operate in his life. So he was a mighty, mighty man of God. And listen to what he said. He said, God is hindered by our prayer life. It seems as though God can do nothing until somebody asks him. And we looked at that 3 weeks ago. We saw that the word, it doesn't matter what John Wesley said. It doesn't matter what Brother Hagin says. It doesn't matter what Pastor Mike Anderson says. It doesn't matter what Pastor Mike Luketic says. Pastor Nancy Dufresne says. It matters if they're preaching the word. But if they're preaching the word, it will bless you. Amen? If they're preaching opinions and philosophies and theories, that won't bless you. But if the sower sow in the word, it will bless you. And so it doesn't matter what John Wesley said. If John Wesley's statement is to be true, then it has to be backed up in the Bible. But we saw in the Bible that's true, isn't it? Because this mentality that the devil has hoodwinked and pulled the covers over the church's eyes has told the church that whatever will be, que sera, sera, whatever God's going to do, God's going to do. And that what that gets the church doing is sitting on their rear ends and doing nothing, and the devil says, I got him, right? Because listen to what, now I'm going to just rattle this off real fast. Kim Lai, you don't even have to turn there, but you can write this down or go back 3 weeks ago and look at the message. But remember in Matthew 18, it says this. It says, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. What's he saying? Heaven responds to what we do. Amen. Amen? Heaven is waiting for us. What you bind, heaven will bind. What you loose, heaven will loose. Heaven's not binding and loosing before you are. Heaven's waiting on your response. And the reason for this, remember, let me back up a second, was because in the Garden of Eden, remember God told the Adam and Eve, he said, I give you authority. I give you dominion. He didn't say, I'll work through your dominion. He said, I'm giving you the authority. I'm giving you the dominion on planet Earth. But then Adam and Eve dropped that, didn't they? They gave it over to the devil. And now the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 that God of this world is who? Satan. Satan's in charge of the planet. Praise God. He has authority on the earth. The devil does. Now, Jesus came along and stripped that authority and gave it to the Christian. Now, we have authority over the devil. The Bible says he's under our feet. But heaven can't move until we get heaven moving. That's why he said, whatever you bind, I'll bind. Whatever you loose, I'll loose. Remember this, we saw in Matthew 6 and verse 8, it says, for your heavenly Father knoweth the things you have need of before you ask him. And then in John 16, 24, it says, hitherto or up until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask that you may receive, that your joy might be full. But notice he said this, ask and then you'll receive. He said he knows you have need of things before you ask him. What's he saying? It doesn't matter that I know you have things. I still need you to ask me for them. Now you might say, why? Does God have an ego? Does God need to have his ego stroke and dangle those things and wait for us to come? No, that's not what it is. Remember, God does not have any authority on the earth until the Christian asks him to move. We've been given authority. So just because God knows you need something, and this is going to tie a lot into tonight, because we're going to be talking about personal things tonight. Just because God knows you have need of things, doesn't mean that God has permission to bless you with them. He needs you to untie his hands. Just because I know there's cars out in the parking lot, doesn't mean, just because I have that knowledge, doesn't give me the permission to drive them. Just because I know you all have a home, if I find out where every one of you live, doesn't mean I have the permission to come over and just make myself at home. But I know you have a house, doesn't give me permission. Just because God knows we have need of some things, doesn't give him permission to move. And we saw this in the Bible. We saw in Matthew chapter 9. That the Bible says that the laborers are few, or the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Well, how do you get people born again? Laborers. The Bible says you can't get born again until someone preaches to them. And then once they get born again, they can't be taught and shepherded unless they have a shepherd. Well, he said, the laborers are few, the harvest is great. He says, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into his harvest field. Well, if people's salvation and his children being nourished right and fed right depended on laborers, why wouldn't God just do it himself? Why not God? If he has the power, why doesn't he just send the laborers out? Because he can't. That's why he told us to ask for it. He said, pray ye, you pray to send the laborers out in the harvest field. You say, I'm not convinced. Well, this will convince you. Acts chapter 12 and verse 1, remember the Bible says Herod. Remember Herod took James, one of the three top dogs in the body of Christ, one of the three inner circles with Jesus. Remember that story? Herod killed him. Top leader in the church in those days. Killed him. And then what happened? We saw that he tried to do the same to Peter. Well, let me ask you a question. Did God have a favorite between Herod and or between James and Peter?
No.
Did God love James more than he loved Peter and vice versa? No. God loves everybody equally. He's no respecter of persons. Do you think that God had a plan for James's life? Yeah. Do you think that that plan was to really put a dent into the devil's kingdom? Absolutely. Because Peter did. James was just a top dog as he was. He was meant to do the same type of things. But what happened? James was killed. But Peter wasn't. And the only thing the Bible tells us why Peter was spared in Acts chapter 12, it says, but prayer was made without ceasing by the church for Peter. Church didn't pray for James. So God, sitting up there in heaven, wanting to deliver James, can't do anything about it. Why? He can't just do anything he wants on the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why the earth's in a mess. If your God was in control of planet earth, you might want to find a new God. Because there are terrible things happening to innocent people every single day. Women, children, and families, and just horrible things you hear on the news. I mean, I'm getting to the point where I don't even want to look at the news anymore because the stuff gets into my head and it just goes and goes and goes. Well, if my God's in heaven sitting back while a young person's being abused, or a woman's being abused and he's sitting back there and he has the power to do something and he's just not doing it, my God, we better find a new God to serve. I ain't going to worship a God like that. But he does not have the power. He's got to have somebody release him on the earth. Hallelujah. He's a God of love. Don't you think if he could, he would? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we need to get involved. Hallelujah. And we saw that corporately, that if we're going to see miracles and signs and wonders, it ain't a one-man show. It ain't, well, Pastor Mike's doing it. You know, he's crying out for it. No, if you're not crying out for it, we won't have it. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, the people in Mark chapter 6 hindered the move of God. Not Jesus, not God, the people hindered the move of God. It doesn't matter that God's on fire. It doesn't matter that your pastor's on fire, praying and seeking God. If you're not on fire, we're going to be in trouble. Because they were in trouble in Mark chapter 6. It's the truth. Praise God. Praise God. Well, anyways, we talked more about a corporate setting. Now, I want to talk to you about your own lives tonight. I want to talk to you about your own personal prayer life. And the things that are hanging in the balance on whether you pray or don't pray. And I hope after tonight that you'll see, my goodness, it'll light a fire under you and say, my goodness, there's some things that God has for me. But they won't come to pass unless I'm pursuing and seeking him. Amen?
Amen.
You don't believe me? Go to Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Luke 18 and verse 1. Perfect, by the way. Just right on. Luke 18 and verse 1. Praise God. He's faithful. He is faithful. Luke 18 and verse 1. It says this, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray. What's the result? And not faint. Yeah. So guess what? Whether or not you're fainting or not has everything to do. What's fainting? Fainting isn't just falling out on the floor and being knocked out. Fainting is not enduring to the end. Fainting is not being strong enough to get through the test and trial, right? It's backing off the things of God. It's letting go of that profession of that faith that you're holding on to. He said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. So what's he saying? I guess prayer has a big role to play in the life of a believer.
Amen.
It's true. Now, if I'm talking about you, you know, then this message is definitely for you to help you. But you know there's people in the body of Christ, they go weeks upon weeks and never get a feeding. never get a feeding. They go weeks upon weeks without any communication with dad. And the Bible says fainting is the result of not having relationship with him. Just the truth. I know that, you know, a lot of people, you know, seeker-sensitive churches won't like a church like this because we actually put the responsibility on the believer. We actually show you that, hey, you know, Jesus said if you don't pray, you'll be fainting. Whereas other people, the grace of God. They get in a ditch on the grace of God. They get in the ditch that, oh, God will just do everything. What I do doesn't matter. It's all about him. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen? And churches are exploding all over the country that are teaching stuff like that. Why? It's easier on the ears. It's easier on the ears to hear don't tithe. It's easier on the ears to hear, you know, your faith doesn't matter and just whatever and live however you want. It's easier on the ears to hear that holiness isn't a thing anymore. It's easier on the ears in the flesh to hear that stuff. But I'll tell you what, the reaping that comes from it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Mark 11:24. Praise God. Mark 11:24 says this here. It says, therefore I say unto you, everybody say, he's talking to me. He is. Therefore I say unto you, well, here we go, whatsoever things you desire. What's the next three words? When you pray. Not if you pray. When you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. What's he saying? What's he saying? He's saying, if you want to see things come to pass, you're going to have a role in it, and that role is called prayer. Amen? He expects you to pray. I know. Wow. Go to James 5 and verse 13. James 5 and verse 13. We looked at this 3 weeks ago, but let's hit it again. I always enjoy preaching on this verse here because it's really kind of ludicrous when you look into it. James 5 verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? What is afflicted being? Going through a test, going through a trial. Now listen to this now. I'm about to ramp up my sarcasm. Are you ready for it? Amen. Amen. Is any among you afflicted? Let him get on the horn and call the pastor. Get the prayer chain a-rocking. Come on. Get on Facebook and let everybody know. Oh, come on now. If any among you afflicted, let him, the afflicted one, go to God. What a concept. But what do we like in the body of Christ? Push responsibility off for everybody else. Ladies and gentlemen, your faith will work just as much as my faith. In fact, your faith for your own situation will work more than me trying to trump your doubt and unbelief. If I could do it for everybody, I would. Why? Because I'm taught the word. I know how to pray in faith. If I could just use my faith to make sure you're all okay, I'd do it. Praise God. But he doesn't say that. Now again, we can hook up in prayer and we can join together in prayer. But let's face it. Most people are calling the pastor. Most people are calling the prayer chain. Most people are posting stuff on Facebook, getting on the horn, not out of a faith platform, but out of a doubt and unbelief and worried platform. Oh my God, what am I going to do? I got to get the pastor to pray in for me. Why? You got Jesus in you. Use your faith. Praise God. Now call me up and say, Pastor, I'm going through this. Will you join with me? I'll say, absolutely. Let's knock this thing out of the park. But you call me all desperate. I'm going to have to deal with that desperation first. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Why? Because we have to pray from a platform of faith. We have to pray from a platform of knowing what belongs to us. Praise God. Amen. You know, we looked at this, but as ludicrous as it is, it says, let him pray. Is any merry? What's merry mean? Happy. Joyful. Right? It's kind of like this. If someone walked up to me tonight and gave me a $10,000 check, man, I'd be merry. Right? Wouldn't you? Yeah. Wouldn't you be merry? Praise God, I'd be merry. And you know what married people do? Married people rejoice. Married people, you know, you ever had a day where you're just so happy and you're at work, you're in the bathroom, you're in the shower, you're cooking your breakfast, and you're just singing songs. You just got a song on, you know, you're happy, right? Well, it's like this. Is any of you married? It's like someone handed me a $10,000 check. I get really excited. I look at it and say, Jeff, sing for me. Let people know how happy I am, Jeff. Sing it out. That's crazy, right? You'd say, that's ludicrous. That's stupid. Sure. It's as ludicrous as somebody that's going through something and is not seeking God for their answer. Amen. He's saying the person that's the afflicted one ought to pray. Now go with me to Jeremiah 29:11. We don't have a whole lot to cover tonight, but what we are going to cover will absolutely change your life, your future. Going forward, Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Now, it's important that you do realize that in the teaching of the Word, if you ever get into condemnation, that's not God. You've listened to the wrong voice. And God is always an encourager, but God is a corrector. And so when you do get corrected, you have a choice to either be corrected and go forward in faith or be corrected and go forward in condemnation and beat yourself up. Because when you hear things about how your future can be, what tends to be a lot of times the devil will be on your shoulder in your ear talking to you about all the past things that maybe could have been different had you known this. But you know what that does, ladies and gentlemen? No good. Because why? You can't change it. You can't go back, and God doesn't live in the back. God lives in the forward. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He lives in the windshield, not the rearview mirror. Going forward, going forward. So if in this you hear this, instead of beating yourself up, because let's face it, we're all here now anyways, and we're all going to be in heaven. Praise God. Amen. And so we might as well go forward with what time we have left the best way we know how. And to sit there and mope around, well, I did this 10 years ago. If I'd have known this 15 years ago. Oh, if I'd have done this with my kids, this with this marriage, this with this spouse, this with this child, this with this job, this with this amount of money, all things. That's just, you've waddled along into and are wallowing into the devil's territory. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You waddled into the devil's territory. Now, Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 says this. For I know, God says, the thoughts. One translation says plans. Same thing. He's talking about what he has for you. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. One translation says plans to prosper you and to not harm you. Plans for good things. Amen? Amen. So God says, I know the plans that I have for you. Remember he told Jeremiah, he said this, he said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. He said, before you were even in your mama's belly, I already knew you and I already had a plan for you. And what he's saying is that if you'll do that plan, that's where the blessing will be. Praise God. Now go with me to Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Kim Lai, would you please pull this up in the Amplified? Praise God. For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined and planned beforehand. It kind of sounds like, behold, I know the plans I have for you. And remember he said, not to harm you, not for evil, to give you an expected end, plans to prosper you. Well, look at it. Taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. What's God's plan? Living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. I think it's what the rest of that verse said. Yes, prearranged and made ready for us. You can go back to the King James. So in two places, Old Testament and New Testament, we see that God has plans for us. And they're good plans. He knows them. He prepared them. He has them ready for us in heaven. Now, if he says in his word, I know what you have need of before you ask me, why then should we think that these plans of living the good life that he prearranged and made ready for us, that these prospering plans to give us hope and expected outcome, why do we automatically think that God's plan for us is going to automatically come to pass without us doing anything? We've been blinded if we think that's the case. Because just like God knows you need the money, just like God knows you need the healing, whatever, it takes you initiating it to get God moving. And these plans, these good things that God has, praise God. And what are the plans? You want to know what they include? They include future things, big decisions, life-altering future plans. They include things you're facing right now. You know, God has an answer of things you're facing right now that you don't have an answer to, that you come up against a wall that you have, that you can't figure it out. He's got plans to turn that around, praise God. But why do we expect to just be handed them? Hallelujah. Ephesians 2 and 10 and verse, and Jeremiah 29 totally discredit the idea that God doesn't care about you and that God has bad things for you. In fact, it tells us that God cares about us so much that he actually, in his mind, made up a plan for you as his child that he wants you to walk into because he knows it would be best. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it's kind of like this. We took a trip to Disney last year. And, you know, before you go, you get all your fast passes ready for, so you get on the rides quicker. You know, we planned everything around what would bless the kids the most, right? And if we get to the park, and all of a sudden he says, and we know what he likes best, and we know what he likes more than he knows what he likes. I always tell him, I made you. I own you. I made you. Like, you're not here if it wasn't for me, right? Right, buddy? I mean, you need me. Praise the Lord. I know he knows. I know what he likes. And so we plan everything so their enjoyment. What if he gets to the park? I don't want to do any of that. I just want to do this. He'll maybe pick something out there that we know he'll hate or would be make him afraid or whatever. And he just chooses to do that. That's what people are doing all the time with God. He's already got the plan made out. He's already been on there just logging in. Oh boy, if they'll just do this, if they'll just do that. Ooh, they'll enjoy this. Ooh, they'll enjoy. Why are they doing that? Why are they saying that? Why are they going that way? That's not on the itinerary. That's not where I had them to go. That's not who I had. That is not. That's what God's doing. Praise the Lord. Now here's what happens with people, and I see this all the time. It breaks my heart. And this is where we need to stop. And if you've done this, I've been guilty of it. I'm sure everybody else has. But if you're not, well, you're better than me. Praise the Lord. But if you're guilty of it, and you can even look back and say, you know what, if I'd have known this, it would have spared me this. Don't get into the condemnation. Don't even allow it. Say, I know now, I'm going to do it better now.
Yeah.
Most people take their plans, their thoughts, their ideas, what they want to do in life. Young people, listen up. You know, one thing cool about being a young person is you got everything in front of you. And most people, and most parents, unfortunately, steer kids in the wrong way and tell you, you can be whatever you want to be. How about you can do whatever God has for you? Now, it's good. Yeah, you can do whatever, but as Christ strengthens you, right? You ought to be encourage your kid on God's plan. But what most people do is they bring their ideas, their thoughts, their plans, their wants, their desires. They bring them to God, and they say, God, get your magic wand out and sprinkle that blessing over my plans. So most people do, and they want, but that's not how it works. God already says, I don't need to sprinkle your plan with magic pixie dust. I already have a plan for you that's the most blessed plan, that's filled with prosperity, the right person in your life, the right places you need to go, the right money, the right protection, the right deliverance, everything you need, the favor, every person you're supposed to come in line with. I already have it for you if you'll just get off of your way and do it my way. But most people bring theirs. I want to do this. I want to do this. This sounds fun. Oh, I like this. That's what Lot did. Lot looked at the side. See, because a lot of times what people will say is, it drives me bonkers how ignorant the body of Christ is. They think, well, it looks good. It pays more. They're pretty. And he was nice to me. And they have all these outward circumstances and reasons for wanting to do things. And because it seems good to their flesh and good to their mind, God must be in it. No! Sodom and Gomorrah looked great. It was well watered. In fact, like the garden of the Lord, the Bible said. Sodom and Gomorrah, before it got destroyed, looked like the Garden of Eden. Well, naturally, everybody would say, that must be the way. If I'm separated from Aaron, that's the way I'm going to go. Because it's so wonderful. Never even considered to ask God. He said, God, I'm going to do this, and you're going to bless it. And God said, no, I'm not. I'm not in that. I'm not in that. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So, to get what He has for us, we got to, what? Matthew 6 and 8. I know what you have need. Don't you think you have need to be on His perfect will? You might not think you do, but you really do. To be as fully blessed as you can be, you need to be on His perfect will. He said, I know what you have need of before you ask me. Don't you think then the things that are in front of you, the things that you don't know, the decisions that are going to have to be made today, the decisions that are going to be made tomorrow, a year from now, don't you think it would be a benefit and a blessing to you if you knew what they were? Yes. Amen. Well, you're going to have to ask Him. Go to Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. I call this God's phone number. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Praise the name of Jesus. And again, we don't have a lot left here. We're just going to hit what we need to hit. He said, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. And I'll tell you what a great and mighty thing is, the plan that He has for me, the plan that He has for you, the exact specific plan that God has for you. That's a great and mighty thing. But notice this, to get the goods, to get the knowledge on that, you have to first call unto Him. And what I say earlier, and it's truth, I know because I talk to people. There are people that go weeks, months. There's people that go a whole year. They're Christians. They don't ever even talk to God. Well, He said, I'll show you great and mighty things, but not before you talk to me. Not before you call unto me. Amen. I'm sorry that I'm just one of these preachers that put it right in your face so you can see it. Because I'm sick of religion that says, oh, God will just do it, not if you don't call on Him. You won't be shown jack squat. Praise the Lord. Ah, oh, glory to God. It's true. It's true. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't like your worship. I don't care. Well, I wish you had more kids programs. I don't care. We have it where it counts, which is the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. We're rich in that category. Thank God for the girls that sing. My God, if you could just stuck with me, poor Olean. They're mostly just stuck with me all the time. I wonder why they walk out of there going, oh. That's not me just fishing for you to be sweet to me, but it's nice that you're sweet to me. Amen. I'm just going to tell you like it is. Praise God. My job is to empower the body of Christ, not to fill seats. And He said, you want to know great and mighty things, you got to call Him. That means you have responsibility. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Go with me to Daniel chapter 2 and verse 17. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 17. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Daniel 2 and verse 17. Now, we're talking about great and mighty things, the plan of God. Let me ask you this. Do you know everything that God has for you for the rest of your life? Do you know every turn that He's going to have you make? Do you know every decision that you're supposed to make? Every answer? No, you don't. They're hidden from you, right? Well, don't you think, we said this already, it would be a blessing and a benefit to know that if right now you're off of His plan and He'd be revealed to you, hey, you're going the wrong way. Go a different way. Wouldn't that be a benefit? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Wouldn't that be good to know that God tell you something? Hey, in 6 months from now, an opportunity is going to come. Or financially, hey, there's this opportunity for an investment. Don't do it. Or, and, you know, because a lot of times people say, oh, that looks good. Everybody's talking. I mean, I know Christians all the time. They were talked about. People, oh, yeah, this is a great thing. This is a great thing. Oh, it's a great thing. Put their money in it. Boom, lose their money. I could tell you. I'm talking ministers. Ministers. Who heard another minister that they trusted get involved, never asked God, just went with what was good, didn't work out. Well, wouldn't it be good to know those things? Amen. The mysteries. Well, Daniel chapter 2, now look at this, this is amazing to me. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 17, now to catch you up, to save time, King Nebuchadnezzar had made a decree because what had happened was he had a dream. If you remember the story, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and it greatly troubled him, but he couldn't remember it, but he knew that it troubled him. And so he called on all the wise men of the land to come and interpret his dream. But when he called them in, he said he wouldn't even tell them what the dream was. He says, and he said, they said, if you tell us what the dream is, we'll tell you what it means. And they said, no. He said, no, because if you were truly a wise person and could see the future or whatever, you know, you would just know what my dream is and be able to interpret it. He said, if you don't find someone that can interpret this dream, I'm going to kill all the wise men. Well, Daniel and his buddies were considered in the wise men category of the day. So Daniel's life is on the line. Daniel's whole future is hanging in the balance. He's about to be murdered. But he knows, I have a God who doesn't want me dead. I have a God who has a plan for me. And if it's going to require me finding out what in the heck this dream was and what it meant, then he'll show me. But look at this in verse 17. It says, then Daniel went in to his house. Go to verse 16 first, Kimla, real quick. Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time. And he would show the king the interpretation. So he went in to King Nebuchadnezzar and said, I'll get this. No problem. Just give me time. You don't even have to tell me what it was. I don't even need a hint. I'll get this thing. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Now notice this, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So what's Daniel and his buddies doing? They're getting together to seek God, to desire the mercies of God. Now, if God just does anything he wants to, regardless of what you would do, don't you think it would show up in a situation when Daniel, who might be one of the most holy, godly men in the whole Bible, serve God, I mean just a mighty man of integrity and character, if his life is on the line, God obviously wouldn't want him to be killed. God obviously wanted him to die with all the exploits that Daniel was going to do and all the things that Daniel was going to do for God. God obviously wouldn't want him to die the same way God wouldn't want James to die. But don't you think that if God could just do anything he wants, he would have spared James? Yes. And don't you think if Daniel could just go back, say, okay, King said I need to figure this out. I'm going to go home and play PlayStation. I'm going to go home and kick on the game tonight and kick back and eat some Cheetos. God will just show it to me. No! Daniel knew something. I have to call unto him. And then he'll answer me and show me great and mighty things. So what they do, they got together and said, we need to seek God for this answer. We need to seek God for this answer. Then look at verse 19. Then, everybody say then. Not before then. Then, after what? After they sought God, prayed. Was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision? Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He goes on to say in the next verses, he said, there is a God in heaven who is a revealer of secrets. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? God's not revealing secrets until you press in for the secrets. Amen. Amen. God is not revealing the secrets until you call unto him. Seek him. Find out what he's saying. Praise God. And so many people are so hoodwinked. They just, well, it seems good. You know, I'm getting ready to graduate, or I'm getting ready to change careers, or I'm getting ready to make a huge decision in my life, and it just seems good to me. I'm just going to do it. Never seek God. Never ask him. Find out what he's thinking about the situation. And yet the whole time he's got this whole plan constructed for you to walk into and be the blessed, most blessed you've ever been. Hallelujah. You know, I remember when I was in 2009 in August, I was in Forestville at the Walker's Farm and picking up cherry brush all day long. I was there and I had my MP3, I didn't have an iPod at the time, but I had an MP3 player with headphones in, and I was just worshiping God the whole time on the cherries. Picking up brush, just worshiping God, praising God, worshiping God, praying in tongues, praying to God, seeking God. I knew there were things ahead of my life, but I didn't know what they were, and I just sought God, sought God, sought God, and he dropped it in my spirit that day in August. He said, next year, September, fall of 2010, you will start a church in South Dayton, New York. Do you know the benefit and the advantage that I got knowing that 1 year in advance? Not only for natural logistical planning and preparation, but the spiritual aspect of putting my faith, we will have a building there. We will have the people there. And I started just hammering that thing in faith for a whole year because God showed me, but God didn't show me until I was seeking him for his plan. Amen. Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians 14:2. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. Oh, the blessing of this that so many of His children are missing out on. Now remember, He said, call unto Me, and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. In the Amplified, it said, things that are fenced in and hidden. That sounds like mysteries. That sounds like secrets. Amen? Well, look what it says in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Number one, I remember hearing Pastor Nancy Dufresne preach on this. And she said this. She said, this is a royal telephone line directly to the Father. Speaking in tongues is. Amen. And she used the example of Desert Storm when Norman Schwarzkopf, I think his name was, had an interview. And on his desk was a special telephone. And that telephone, he could pick it up and call president, get right onto the president's line. My God, that's a good line to have. Oh, man, I'd love to have that on my speed dial, right? President, what's going on here? What are we doing in this country? Help me out here. Tell me what your plans are. And that's what he did. He just get on the phone with the president. We have a direct line to God through praying from our spirit, man. But look at this now. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit, here we go. Howbeit, in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Well, remember what we said now, ladies and gentlemen. The things that are the plans that God has for you. The plans of what to do with your life. What career to follow. Who to marry. What to do. Where to live. All these things are mysteries. The things you're going through right now. How do I change this financial situation? How do I fix this family situation? How do I turn this around? It looks like there's no way. There's things now. There's things in the near future. And there's things in the long-term future that you don't know the answer to that would be great benefit to you if you knew the mind of God on them. They're mysteries to you. But we said this, that God knows what you have need of before you ask Him. Do you think that God knows how to turn your current situation around? Yep. Amen. Do you think that God knows how to change your current financial problem? He sure does. You think God knows how to turn the family problems that you have, how to navigate you through to get you to them? Do you think God knows how to get you into the things that you're believing Him for? He sure does. Do you think God knows, young people, what would be the best thing for you to do when you get out of high school? Do you think He knows it? Amen. He sure does. But God's not going to rain these out of heaven and just drop them in your lap until you first do something yourself. He said if you'll pray in unknown tongues, then the mysteries will be spoken out. Now let me help you with this and what happens when you pray in tongues. Remember that the Bible says that the Holy Ghost hears from heaven. And then he said, I don't speak on my own behalf, but I speak that whatsoever I hear. So the Holy Ghost is repeating what he hears in the mind of God. So the Holy Ghost dwells on the inside. We learned this in our How to Be Led by the Holy Spirit series. The Holy Ghost is on the inside of you, and you have a spirit. But the Holy Ghost hears from God, the mind of God, concerning you. Reveals it then to your spirit. And remember what the Bible says about praying in tongues. When you pray in tongues, if you were going to look at the mechanics behind praying in tongues, what are the mechanics behind praying in tongues? It's the Holy Ghost giving you utterance. Giving your spirit the utterance, and then it bubbles up, and you speak it out, and you're speaking that which the Holy Ghost told your spirit. Well, what's the Holy Ghost telling your spirit? The Holy Ghost is only speaking that which He hears. So when He tells your spirit, He's telling you the mind and the will of God for your life. When you then pray that out, the mysteries then are prayed out into the atmosphere, which unties the hands of God, gives Him the opportunity to then reveal them unto you, make them known unto you. But until you do this, mysteries will stay mysteries. What a privilege we have. The mysteries do not lie with God in the sense they're not mysteries to God. God knows what to do. God knows what direction to go. God knows what's the situation you're in and how to turn it around. But God needs you to pray those mysteries out. When you pray those mysteries out in tongues, your spirit will be enlightened, your mind will be enlightened, and the plan of God and the things that are mysteries will become revealed unto you. But so many people do not take advantage of this precious gift Oh, so many people do not take advantage of this precious gift. I'm so thankful for it. I remember when I didn't know what to do with my life. I got born again and I was working at the general store in Falconer. And I was afraid to sell out to God because He might tell me to do something that I don't want to do. For me, it was, you know, be a missionary. Did not want to be a missionary. You know, I go to Canada and I get the heebie-jeebies. I'm telling you, I don't like to leave Lakewood. I mean, I come here, I don't know what to do with myself. I leave my house and I just get all weird, you know. I just kind of a homebody that way. And I thought, oh my God, go across the seas and go be a missionary. No way, Lord. But my life was struggling. Why? Doing it my own way. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, until you stop doing it your way, there'll always be frustration. It'll always be, able to be better than it is until you sell out to God. Listen to this now. This just came up in my heart. I'll get back to this. What a lowly, worthless existence to live completely for yourself. What do I mean by that? All you're worried about is making sure you're happy, making sure your life's fulfilled. You box your little self in and just make sure that my little world's taken care of. What a low purpose for living. But when you sell out and become unselfish and become sacrificial for a higher purpose, which that higher purpose is found in the plan of God. See, the plan of God for life not only will mean the most money for you, the most favor for you, the most blessings for you, it will also mean the most influence for you as a member of the body of Christ to make headway on this earth. And when you decide to do it your own way, and God has a plan, and in that plan, yes, it's your stuff, but in that plan, every child of God, God has a plan for them to do something for His kingdom. And have some sort of influence. But when you say, I'm going to do it my own way, you selfish thing, you. And I can't imagine what a low existence that would be, because when life's over, that's it. But man, you live for God, you influence and affect other people, that affects generations. And that affects heaven's population. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Getting anything tonight? And I remember I said, Lord, I'm tired of this. I'm a Christian and I'm suffering. I started praying in tongues and seeking. I said, I need to know your plan. It's a mystery to me, but it's not a mystery to you. I'm going to pray this out. And I remember throwing my hands up in the air in my car, my steering wheel hitting the wheel. I said, Lord, I'll do it. I'll go to China. I'll go to Africa, whatever you say. And then I began to say, I'm going to pray until I find out the answer. I'm going to find out this mystery. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. Well, after time, I went to a service in Fredonia. And while I was sitting there in the salvation call, it was revealed unto me. Go to Rhema. That was my next big plan. Would have never happened unless I was... Isn't it amazing that when I got born again in January, until I finally heard go to Rhema in the fall, God knew from January... the fall, that go to Rhema was my plan. Why didn't God tell me that all the time? It would have sure saved me a lot of trouble. Because I wasn't calling for it. I wasn't praying out the mysteries. So they stayed mysteries to me. I remember Pastor Nancy Dufresne, she was engaged to be married. And it broke off, you know, and she was devastated, you know, just kind of thought she had a plan for her life. It broke off. So she said, you know what? I don't know what to do with my life now. Well, that's a mystery. So she spent... hours praying in other tongues. And then eventually, it wasn't too long after that, in a service, she met Dr. Dufresne, and the Lord revealed it unto her. This is your next step. This is your next plan. Wouldn't have come. She'll tell you. She'll preach it. She'll say, it would never happen had I not spent time praying in tongues and praying out the mysteries. You got to pray these mysteries out, ladies and gentlemen. They don't just automatically come to pass. Go to Romans 8 and verse 26. Romans 8 and verse 26. I remember I've told the story many times. God told us, that house is yours. Well, I had no idea how I was going to get in it. The banks were saying no. I didn't have it. Didn't come close. Well, so I started seeking God, praying in tongues, and He revealed it to me. Said, call unto me and show me great and mighty things. So I just take Him at His word and do it. Praise God. Spend time praying in the Spirit. Look at Romans 8 and verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses or our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit Himself, it should say, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or understood. Kind of sounds like unknown tongues. That's exactly what he's talking about. In verse 27, it says, and He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the perfect will of God. When you pray in tongues concerning, see, because what people do when they call it prayer, they'll bring what they want to God and want God to put an approval on it. Right? But see, when you take something you don't know the answer to, how to turn this situation, what to do with my life, and you bring it to God and pray out in tongues, not only are you praying those mysteries out, but you're finding out the perfect will of God for that situation. The Holy Ghost is helping you pray in perfect line with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise His name forevermore. The treasure that we have in speaking in other tongues. Just because you didn't hear about it a lot growing up doesn't make it not so. Just because the church you came from never talked about it doesn't make it not so. Because my Bible says that the greatest Christian of them all, Paul said, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than everybody. So just because your church didn't magnify it, just because your upbringing didn't magnify it, God magnified it in His Word. But for some reason, most churches, most Christians lost their magnifying glass when they got over to the book of Acts. I have people tell me that. We didn't talk about the book of Acts in my church, and we left out a lot of parts of 1 Corinthians. I don't understand it. The blessing that we get to pray out these mysteries. What does that look like? Taking time. So again, there's plans and things that God wants to reveal to you. Even things, ladies and gentlemen, you might have big decisions. Like, for example, a young person. Where am I going to go to college? What am I going to do after high school? Or maybe you're in a job, or maybe you're looking for a spouse or something. And these are big decisions. But there's things that if you're praying in tongues that God will reveal and enlighten unto you that you weren't even seeking Him on, but will be a blessing or a warning or something to help you that you weren't even thinking on or praying on, but because you took time to pray, God said, "Ooh, I can dole out a mystery. They're seeking me because I can keep my word." Because we know God just doesn't do anything He wants to. We saw that with James. We saw it with Daniel. It just doesn't happen. Amen. Praise God. Now let me help you with this. Because what this looks like is you every day taking time to pray in tongues. If you have a situation, a big decision ahead of you, you're crazy if you're not praying in tongues first. Let me just go ahead and swipe this clean and kick this out of the park. Amen? Amen. People will say this all the time. In fact, I just recently was told this situation. That people are going to make big decisions in their life. Life-altering, big moves, big changes. And I'll say, be led. And they'll say, well, I don't have anything telling me not to do it. Now what they're saying is, I really want to do this. It really suits my interests and my likes. Because when I then ask them, how much have you prayed in tongues about this? How much have you been in the throne on your face with in front of the throne of God seeking Him on this? Oh, well, I just don't have... For somebody to say... Now get ready, because I'm gonna expose ignorance now. For somebody to say, I know that's God's will, and you haven't prayed on it, you are violating what the Bible says, because He says, I'll only reveal to you my will when you seek me on it. He said, I'll reward the ones that are diligently seeking me. Most people think because it suits me and it feels good and it sounds fun, I'm going to do it. It's what I want to do. It's what I've always dreamed of doing. This is what I want. And so therefore, it feels good. It must be God. No. If you're not on your face praying out the mysteries, don't think that you know the mind of God. Now, somebody who's in fellowship with God and somebody that's been praying, they can go by that inward witness of it seems good. But somebody to tell me, my spirit tells me it's okay, and you don't pray, you're not in the Word, you wouldn't know what a spiritual thing is from a carnal thing. It's just what the Bible teaches, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry, I have to be the one to expose it. No, I'm not sorry. I take back that sorry. I'm sorry for saying I'm sorry when I really wasn't sorry. Amen? It's just the truth. I'm trying to help people. Now again, people get offended. People get mad about this. Don't get offended and mad at the pastor who tells you the truth and shows you the Bible to try to get you going the right way. That's just the devil talking to you. But my God, it don't move until you get the green light. Don't move until He tells you what to do. But so many times people are bringing things to God. So what's it look like? A constant fellowship and communion with the Father. Now let me just say this in closing. Your flesh will fight it. Your mind will fight it. Because your flesh and your mind are not into praying in tongues, because it's weird to that, to your mind and your flesh. Your flesh will fight it. And let me just say this. Praying in tongues, while you have a bazillion things in your mind and a bazillion distractions, when you're praying in tongues, you're not going to hear from God. He's the still small voice, ladies and gentlemen. So not only is it the act of actually praying in tongues, you need to pray in tongues the right way. So I didn't know there was a wrong way. Well, it's good that you're praying in tongues, but until you learn to pray in tongues and shut this thing down, God's going to have a hard time speaking to you. You got to quiet the mind. It becomes a disciplined prayer. A lot of people say, well, pray in tongues, okay, 5 minutes while I'm ironing and I'm going to get all the plans of God done. I'm going to iron for 5 minutes and, you know, the kids are spilling cereal all over the place and the TV's on, but I'm going to pray. Pastor said, pray in tongues are mysteries. No. They got to be revealed on your spirit so you can hear, ladies and gentlemen. You got to quiet your mind. What does that mean? Put your mind in neutral. While you're praying, put your mind in neutral. Kick it over into neutral where if a thought tries to come in, you refuse to think on that. You think on what while you're praying? Nothing. Yeah. It takes time. It takes discipline, but you can get there. Amen. Yeah. You can get there. You can get there. Your flesh and your mind will fight it. You know, there's something that Reverend Greer calls praying through the veil of the flesh. What's the veil of the flesh? The veil of flesh is something that's in front of you that if you're going to get into the deep things, the spiritual things of God, to find out the true, what He wants you to do in situations, you're going to have to pray through the veil of the flesh. What's that mean? When your flesh is telling you no, you do it anyways. When you find some time where you can set aside to God and you get in that prayer, and all of a sudden ice cream sounds like the best thing ever, a bowl of Doritos sounds like the best thing ever, you're praying for 10 minutes and it feels like you've been there for 10 hours, and you're trying to seek God, you haven't even got your mind quiet. Most Christians will never, ever break over into the realm of the spiritual things because they don't take enough time to plow through their flesh. It's the truth. Their flesh is so loud and they get down. And I've been rebuked and corrected so many times on this. I told my pastor one time, I said, Pastor, I got things to pray out. I need to hear from heaven. He said, are you praying? I said, yes. He said, are you praying lots in tongues? Do you get the answer? You're praying out those mysteries? I said, no. He said, why? I said, because I start praying and my mind goes crazy. I start praying and my flesh goes crazy. And he started laughing at me. He said, my God, is that all the devil has to do to you to keep you out? Just dangle a picture of a Taco Bell commercial in my mind and it's over. I mean, the devil knows how to push my buttons. Amen. Just all of a sudden start talking to me about the game that's on TV. And oh, I get out of prayer. You know, my flesh is just screaming. The people that will pray through that, that will bust through that thing and stay consistent at it and not let their flesh. If you have 15 minutes to pray, you say, I'm praying for 15 minutes, come hell or high water. I'm not moving from this place. I don't care if the phone rings. I don't care if the house is on fire. I'm praying for 15 minutes, amen? And just seek it out. Say, and you pray and seek Him. My God, shut your flesh up. Shut your mind up. Amen? Amen? So ladies and gentlemen, God has mysteries, plans of prosperity and good things in His presence, in His pocket. But you know what? They don't do any good in His pocket. The mysteries that God has for you don't do any good for Him to have them, and they don't do any good for you for Him to have them. It does good when you make a transaction. Call, answer. Call, answer. Pray in tongues, mysteries are prayed out. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to ask you this. I might start asking people this after every service. Now get ready. What kind of ground are you going to be tonight? What kind of ground are you going to be tonight? What do I mean by that? Well, I sowed the word. Amen? I sowed the word. What ground did the word fall on tonight? What do you mean by that, Pastor? Isn't it amazing that Jesus Christ, a preacher of the word, preached to people, and some people's lives were dramatically transformed and changed. And some people didn't get a lick of what Jesus said. Life didn't change at all. Now let me ask you a question. Was it Jesus' fault?
No.
Was it the word's fault?
No.
It was the hearer's fault.
Amen.
So what kind of ground are you going to be tonight, people? What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, good ground will walk out of here and start seeking Him. We'll start praying and start doing what the Word says. The bad ground will walk out of here and say, didn't get anything out of that. The bad ground will walk out of here and say, well, I'm not going to do that. He can talk about tongues all he wants. I'm not going to do it. That's bad ground. I'm not going to go down that road. I don't need that stuff. My God, you must be special to not need it then, because Paul needed it. Jesus thought the disciples needed it. And praise the Lord. That's what the good ground will do. But isn't it amazing that the same word will go forward? And some people in here, they'll take me at the word and they will start seeking God and praying, and mysteries will be revealed. Plans will be revealed. And some other people, they'll be bad ground. They won't get anything out of it. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, what kind of ground? Do you know that you determine the ground that you are? You determine the ground that you are. So let's endeavor every time we hear the incorruptible, life-changing word of God that we're going to be good ground. We're going to grab onto it and we're going to walk out of here and be doers of it. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. We praise and magnify you. Oh, how we love you, Lord. You're so good to us. You're so good to us. We praise your mighty name. We bless the name of Jesus tonight and we honor you and praise you. We thank you for your mercy. Let's go ahead and worship him tonight. I know that everybody in here is born again. I know that. We love you, Lord, and bless you and praise you. We're thankful. We're thankful. Lord, you have things for us. You have plans for us. Oh, good plans. Even if we've jacked up our whole life to get to here, you still got good plans for us the rest of our life. Father, I jacked up so much of my life, and Lord, you made it all good. You made it all good. We're so thankful. Father, we're going to pursue you. We're going to seek you. If we don't know how to pray in tongues, if we don't know anything about that, we're not going to leave it on the shelf. We're going to go down the road. That's why you gave people a pastor. Praise God. If we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we're not going to leave it to not be used. It's not going to stay dormant. That's the word I'm looking for. It's not going to stay dormant anymore. We're going to start seeking you every day and praying in tongues. It ought to be a daily lifestyle thing of communication. I mean, all praying in tongues is really is communication with you. That ought to be daily. That ought to be daily. Why? There's such benefits, not only in the relationship we have with you, but by seeking you, praying out mysteries. Father, we can be confident that even though we don't feel like praying in tongues, even though we don't understand what we're praying when we're praying in tongues, that we are praying out the mysteries that you have for our lives and people around us and the perfect will of God. And it will be revealed unto us and we will walk into those things if we'll pray them out. Father, we bless you tonight. We honor you and magnify you. Lord, is there anything else you want to do tonight before we close? Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Anything before we close. Anything before we close. Hallelujah. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Father, I don't have anything in my heart, so we're going to unhook right there. We thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for being here tonight. Praise God. You received something.